Jeffrey Gardner. And a happy 4th of July. It's time now for the Green Country Gardener Show. We go from boom to bloom, I guess.
Booms, blooms.
Yeah. Right. How you doing, Larry Glass?
Golly. Yeah, our profession isn't very noisy.
No, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, though. Okay.
You anyway. Got something beautiful for our listeners today.
We have some 4-inch sun coleus at the nursery, and I really do like this plant. We can get into it a little bit later, but it's extremely versatile as far as in the landscape is concerned.
All right.
And durable and easy to grow. Just something just for me. Perfect.
If Larry likes it, you're going to love it.
The primary interest in the garden right now is watching the heat. It's warm. And before I go out,
hydrate.
Get some electrolytes. Mm-hmm. Do not drink sugar before going out. That's just diet.
Yeah. It's no sugar.
Don't drink caffeine. Don't drink that caffeine. Anyway, stay away from the caffeine and the sugar. Get a good electrolyte solution that doesn't have sugar in it. Mm-hmm. I do that all day long, constantly. Mm-hmm. Drink water. Mm-hmm. And now when I get the hankering, I'll drink a little electrolytes too, just to get that going. Because when you sweat, you lose some stuff.
It's important stuff.
That's right. And this stuff replaces that stuff. So
it's stuff replacement in a bottle.
You bet. But primarily water. So yeah, just keep yourself. And before I go out, I just drink, a bottle of water or glass of water with ice or something. And fine. I mowed the grass yesterday. No sweat.
Had
a lot of sweat, but no problem.
Yeah.
Plumb through without stopping. So anyway, divide your iris right now. Now is a grand time. A lot of people ask us questions. When do I divide my iris?
Well, today would be a good day if you got nothing else to do.
Do we have a little bit of rain last night?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just enough.
Just enough to make my seat wet on the patio this morning when we were having breakfast.
Yep. Hey, where'd that come from?
It's wet. Yeah. But anyway, dry the iris. You want to make sure your competitive weeds in your beds are removed. I did that a little bit yesterday. I had some Bermuda grass come up, pull it out, and have a water around for birds, other wildlife. I have a couple little waterfalls that kind of tinkle a little bit, and birds like that. They come to visit now and then.
They do.
Drink that water, and squirrels, the dog loves the shade of squirrels. That's so funny.
I think squirrels know darn well they got the dog's number.
This little old dog is about as big as a cat. And he gets so mad. Oh, does he get mad.
And it also looks like the squirrels are just kind of antagonizing. They kind of look like they're laughing at the dog.
They do, exactly. They do. And also, you can still plant some heat-tolerant annuals, and such as the periwinkles, the big begonias, the sun coleus, which we have some coupons for people who might call in with some questions.
Coupons.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's still a somewhat active time at the nursery and in the landscape too. So crepe myrtles were late this year; they're just now coming out. And they're coming out. They're developing real quickly. I think it has a lot to do with the delay in the weather, the cool, rainy weather, and then all of a sudden hot, like a brick wall. And they have to differentiate. It takes a little while for them to change their tissues on the tip from leaves to flowers. So anyway, they're doing that now, and they're starting to bloom. We got a caller?
We will here in a minute. Looks like.
Okay.
Got to go through the process, as they say.
Oh, sure. Okay. Anyway, the Rosa Sharon are pretty much, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. They're pretty much into bloom right now. The Heart of Hibiscus is starting to bloom. The Heart of Hibiscus is an interesting plant. They get fairly large. And they're perennials in that they're herbaceous perennials, meaning that they'll die all the way to the ground and come back up.
Well, how do you like that?
All right.
We do have a caller. Hi, okay, good morning. You're on the air. Hello, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Hey, I have some thornless blackberries, and they really have been productive this year.
Good.
But they're still small. Is that a fertilizer issue or a water issue, you think?
It might be Are there any signs of any damage on the leaves, any curling of the leaves?
No. Okay. The plants look extremely healthy. And they're just about half the size of the last couple of years.
Okay. Well, it's difficult to say what happened.
Okay.
And I really don't, I can't really say without examining them, perhaps.
Sure. Sure.
Are they growing normally? The growth rate's fairly normal, and the leaf size is pretty good.
In the past they've been about as big as your thumb.
Okay.
And this year they're probably half of that.
Oh my! Well, I would say.
And they are. I mean, there's an abundance of berries.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I can't speculate other than perhaps maybe a loss of root system, perhaps due to the extremely wet weather we had. That'd be the only thing I would think is, because as far as above ground is concerned, the weather has not been something, you know, they can't tolerate. So whatever it is probably, you might have a little bit of rot maybe in the roots, and it'll take time for that to recover.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because the entire plant, each year I weed out all the dead runners.
Yeah.
And so it looks really good. Best they've looked in years.
So another factor
that's what was the shocking part. The plant looks great and the berries are babies.
Another factor is if you have an overabundance of berries, they might have a tendency to be smaller.
Well, I wondered, because years ago with peaches that seemed to be the case. So
yeah.
Okay, well, we'll just see what happens.
And your name is Frank. Frank?
Yes.
Okay, Frank, thank you for calling.
All right. Hey, have a great day.
You too.
All right. Thank you. And we have more room for you on the line right now at 1-800-749-5936.
Right. Bermuda grass. Oh, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Going on with the nursery, you have container trees and container and bald and burlap trees. They can be planted any time. Just don't move them. Hostas are blooming right now. The encore azaleas are showing some flowers. Starting to exhibit a little bit of flower color, mm-hmm. too. The echinacea cone flowers are showing color. Hardy hibiscus are growing rather aggressively. They're a little late this year, but I think they'll do all right. We can deliver to the planting location at no charge for any purchase over $50. And question of the week is, how often do I water my new plants?
Mm-hmm.
Plants don't wear a watch.
Nope.
they are products of the environment. So the best advice I can give is let them get a little bit dry in between waterings. And after a while, you'll develop a schedule. And as your new plants get established, you can slowly wean it away from that watering. As the roots exploit the soil around, they'll take off pretty good. Another question is, will my sprinkler system water them okay? Chances are, no. All the roots on these newly planted plants, all the roots are just right here.
They're condensed. Yeah.
They're not out over there. And it takes one heck of a lot of water. if you water that whole area, we talked about that last week, about how many gallons it takes to make an inch of water of 5,000. Jeez, it's incredible. But anyway, so if you water them specifically, just for a little while, you just have to get out the hose and water your new plants. No big deal. But after a while, they'll be on their own, and they can take it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't count on the sprinkler system to do a good job unless you want to have real squishy, wet soil from overwatering and an extraordinarily high water bill.
Mm-hmm.
So so you want to water them specifically. But we've come up with kind of a formula that seems to work mm-hmm. pretty well for people. The first week, you water them daily. The second mm-hmm. week, every other day. And the third week, every third day. And mm-hmm. after that, just when they need it. So it's about a three-week transition from being planted to beginning to be established and taking over the surrounding soil. So that has worked pretty well. We've had very little loss from that. So anyway, so water them very carefully. Water them when they need it would be the best thing to do.
All right. It's 8:17. We've got some phone lines open for you here at 1-800-749-5936. That is 1-800-749-5936. And we got some coupons for you, too. Let's go to the phone line. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Okay, I've got some evergreen trees. I don't know, they aren't cedars, but they're just all of a sudden died, just like within a week.
Yeah.
Went from healthy to ground. And I've noticed a couple others around town. That last one, and maybe what it was.
Uh-huh. What, what color are the needles on these plants?
Well, these are, they kind of have a yellowish tint to them. They really don't have needles, and they have their seed deals a little green spiked ball-looking thing. These are mature, and they're about 9 foot tall.
It sounds
they're
like
probably 30 years old.
Sounds like it might be arborvitae. Perhaps. Are they very, are the leaves vertically associated, or are they just kind of regularly, just not really, are they evenly spaced?
Well, they really don't have leaves. What are you calling leaves?
Needles, yeah. The needles.
Needles or leaves. It's just a, it's not really a leaf, seed or a leaf. It's a, I can't explain.
Okay. Well, anyway.
They're an evergreen type tree.
Sure. Yeah. There are basically three problems we have with evergreens, right? And it might be one of those three. Bagworms would be the biggest problem they have, primarily. Secondarily, mites. Spider mites are real bad on some evergreen plants. And you have to kind of look closely to see those. But the bagworms are pretty well evident. And thirdly, it might be needle blight. Needle blight is a fungus disease. That they have a tendency to get when they're in an area that's kind of wet and so on.
Okay. Well, these, like I said, they just, between mowings, they're out behind my shop, and you don't normally see them unless you go back there, but I noticed one on the way home, and a perfectly good tree a week ago, and now it's brown. And I thought, well, I better check mine, and I look back there, and they're just brown as they can be, just within a mowing cycle.
Yeah, within a week. Yeah, that sounds like it could be. Have you looked at them real closely?
No, I really haven't.
You might get.
They've had bagworms on them before in the past, but
yeah.
But I planted these things over 30 years ago, and I've never watered them or fertilized them or anything. They were on their own and survived all these years, and just all of a sudden just.
Yeah,
boom, they're gone.
It sounds like, without looking at it, the bagworms this year are just voracious. And I have seen some plants in people's yards they even attack Japanese maples. I was at a house this last week, and Japanese maples' leaves were just gone. And it was bagworms. And
that's probably what this is. I guess I can still see the empty bag or whatever.
At this point in their life cycle, they're still relatively small, so they'll be difficult to see from a distance. So you'll have to get kind of close to look at them and see.
Okay, well, I can walk right up to them.
Right now, they're about the size of the point of this pin right here.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
okay. And well, I'm just wondering. I said three perfectly healthy trees and have been for years and years.
Uh-huh. If there is green left on them, you can spray them with a spinosad or a Thuricide will work too. Both of those are organics. They work really well to control the bagworms. And chances
these are brown. I mean they're goners.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're all crackly and dry then.
Yeah.
Well, you got some kindling
already.
Wood. You got a little kindling wood for the fireplace then.
Yeah. Okay, well, I appreciate the information.
If you continue to have problems with those, and you want a screen plant, you might consider switching species. We've had some pretty good luck with foster holly. It does rather well, grows quickly and big. And
yeah.
Nellie R. Stevens holly does very well, and they don't have those the problems with the bagworms.
Okay. Well, I might consider that. Right now, I'll probably be glad to not have to try to mow around them and everything.
I guess so.
I'll reconsider replanting after I see how much I enjoy just mowing right on through there.
All right, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, your first name is?
Don.
Don?
Okay.
All right, Don, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more of the Green Country Gardener program coming up after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. What United Rentals brings to the table, we have a lot of fleet. You may not see it sitting on our yard, but it's usually within an hour or two away, and we will make that happen. If we need to go to Oklahoma City, we need to go down to Tulsa. If you need a piece of equipment, we have it. A lot of people don't realize we go up into Independence and Notoche. We go up into Kansas. We run about 100-mile radius from Bartlesville. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9555.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
Crayola experience at the Shops at Willow Bend. Can't wait to see you. We're now featuring reduced capacity, social distancing, increased cleaning measures, and as always, lots of creative family fun. Color and wash your free scribble scrubby. Star in your own coloring page. Name and wrap your own crayon. And so much more. Get out and get creative at Crayola Experience.
Visit CrayolaExperience.com for tickets and to learn more about our new enhanced safety protocols.
We want you to sound off every single morning for our Maple Street Meat Market poll question of the day. Tune to KRIG 104.9 each and every weekday morning, and you'll hear our Maple Street Meat Market poll question. Give us a ring at 918-336-1400 or visit our K1, KYFM, KRIG, and KPGM Facebook to vote. Vote every day, thanks to Coffeyville's own Maple Street Meat Markets.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry, you know what that song needs?
Mm.
Needs a banjo.
Yeah, it does.
Just like our theme song. It is 8:26, and you can get a hold of us here on the Green Country Gardening Program at 1-800-749-5936.
How do I fix blossom end rot on tomatoes?
How do you?
Well, you remember back in October, we were talking about plowing up the garden.
Yeah.
Add some gypsum and some magnesium sulfate, Epsom salts mm-hmm. to the soil. And I've done that for years, and my tomatoes never have blossom end rot. It's typically spurred on by a calcium deficiency.
Really?
Really, yeah.
You'd think that they'd be drinking milk. No.
No, but really.
Different kind of calcium.
The skin on the tomato is basically made of calcium pectate, mm-hmm. which is a pectin, which you make jellies and stuff with. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have enough calcium in it. The cell walls can't establish very well, and you get rot. So you need some calcium in there. And gypsum's a good way to do it. It helps loosen up the soil. Mm-hmm. It gives you some sulfur that the plants also need. Helps darken the green color. I have really deep, deep green leaves on my tomatoes. Green. And can't get any tomatoes, but...
You got the green thing
covered. Beautiful green leaves. Yeah. And I think adding some... Epsom salts will help them. Does help them a whole lot too.
Very good.
Now we need to do that. Not now, but we need to do that as a preparation in the fall. So yeah. Stay tuned.
October we'll be talking about it.
Yeah. A good farmer always plows the field in October and leaves it open.
There you go.
Because the freeze freezes the soil and thaws it out, and it makes it real nice and soft in the spring to plant your things. After you run the harrow rake over it, mm-hmm. really good stuff. But anyway. So if you're having problems like that, we do have a calcium supplement you can spray on there that helps it a lot, too. Another thing you can possibly do is maybe take off some of the lower leaves. Perhaps it's obscuring the air circulation a little bit
mm-hmm.
and not letting it grow. I have tomatoes in my backyard in two places. I have some pots, mm-hmm. some big old nursery cans where I planted some, and they're doing pretty well, and I have some in the ground.
Good.
The ones in the pots are irrigated, and the ones in the ground are not irrigated, and both of them are doing quite well. So, but I think I might have to irrigate the others. But the problem, if you irrigate all of a sudden, if they're not used to that, you have a problem with splitting, cracking of your tomatoes too.
Oh, you don't want that.
You want to try to keep the moisture level as constant as possible. Mm-hmm. So and in light of that, I give every day at 7 o'clock in the evening, they get a bit of water to keep that mm-hmm. moisture level constant, and they do great. So a consistent soil moisture content and adequate mm-hmm. calcium and magnesium really helps them a lot. So anyway, so if you're having problems with your tomatoes, tune in late October. We'll talk about ground prep on the tomatoes. Another question, people: how do I get rid of the crabgrass in my grass now?
Oh, good. I'm glad we're covering this one because they just started popping.
Yeah. I went to somebody's yard and they had, this grass is so beautiful. What kind of grass is it? And I said, oh, that's crabgrass. Oh, really? Your neighbors love you for it. Yard across the street was beautiful, like a putting green. You know, the guy spends a lot of time. And right across the street, the south wind blows all those.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much.
But anyway, crabgrass is a pretty common thing. It does very well in poor soil. It does very well in overwatered soil, which we've had a lot of overwatering too.
Yeah, we have.
And you can control it very easily with some pre-emergent herbicide in St. Patrick's Day. It does a good job of doing that. Mm-hmm. And also fertilizing your grass on a regular basis.
Yeah. You get the good grass growing, it doesn't leave room for the bad stuff.
You can fertilize it kind of on a monthly basis when it's warm.
Yeah.
And typically you want to fertilize when there's thunder rumbling in Osage County. So if it makes it across the county line, which has happened the last two times.
Yeah, just kind of split and
whoops. Hopefully I'll get out the sprinklers.
All right.
If you don't have a sprinkler system, fertilize only the area you can water right away, and then maybe next week do the other part or something. So we got a caller.
I think so. Let's go for it here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Good. I've got a couple of questions, Larry.
Yeah.
Number one, I've got a Japanese maple in my backyard that gets a lot of afternoon sun.
Yes.
And I got a real bad leaf burn on it. It's still got several branches on it. Well, it's minimal at best, but several branches that still have viable leaves on it, but the rest of them have dried up. Do I just pull those off of there as long as the limbs are nimble? Is it still okay?
Yeah, if the limbs are nimble, you can pull them off. And Japanese maples do not tolerate being dry. So they need a fairly consistent and reliable source of water.
Okay. So, all right. Fair enough.
That would help. They
and
do.
The other question I have is we kind of did an above ground bed, if you will. I just tore open a couple of bags of the dirt that I got at a big box retailer.
Right.
And it's like the Miracle Grow or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, planted some tomato plants, just cut holes in them and planted some tomato plants in it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting some, now not all of them, my cherry tomatoes are doing great, but at least one of the big tomato plants, I'm getting some pretty serious leaf curl. It's curling up, not down, though, and they're not turning yellow or anything.
Yeah.
They're just curling up. What's up with that?
Well, my tomatoes are curling too in the heat, so it's what happens every year. As long as
fair enough.
Look.
We haven't had very good luck with tomatoes ever. This is a new experiment, and I just thought I'd try this.
I've got mine in some midday sunshield, and they seem to do pretty well.
Fair enough.
And
fair enough.
Look very closely. Get your magnifying glass out and look for mites. Tomatoes are susceptible to mites. And
use like an ivory dishwashing liquid or something and spray on them if I see them or what?
That should work. Do it in the morning or in the evening. Don't do it in the heat of the day. And
that'll really sunburn them, won't it?
Yeah, typically 3 tablespoons to the gallon, just enough to make a film on the surface.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
All right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Larry. We appreciate your show, man.
And your name?
David Forrest.
David? Okay, David. We have a drawing for some coleus plants.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, we can come down and shop with you quite frequently, so that'd be great.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Al.
All
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And you could be next here in just a moment right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. We've got to take another break, believe it or not. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Then for 84 months and no payments for up to 4 months. That's right. At Roman Chevrolet Buick and Independence, select Buicks and Chevys, you will enjoy 0% interest for 84 months with approved credit and free home delivery. And no payments for up to 4 months. You can actually purchase a vehicle from home and Romans will deliver it to you. Roman Chevrolet Buick at 2313 West Main in Independence. 0% for 84 months with approved credit on select vehicles and no payments for up to 4 months. Stop by or shop RomansGM.com. See dealer for details.
Peter's True Value in Dewey is your one-stop shop for just about anything and everything you could want or need. Peter's True Value can help you select the right products for the right job. They offer a big selection of quality products, along with some great advice. So be sure to check out every aisle for hot deals, seasonal favorites, and home basics. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
In what feels like the blink of an eye, things got tough, really tough. That's why Convoy of Hope is distributing meals in the U.S. to those hit hardest by the pandemic, people who've lost their jobs or are struggling to feed their children, those who can't afford to get sick. To help, visit convoyofhope.org/10 million meals. That's convoyofhope.org/10 million meals, or use your smart speaker to give today. Any amount is appreciated and will help people who need it most. Already, thanks to the generosity of people just like you, we've distributed masks to hospitals, helped parents who are struggling to feed their children, and provided hope to so many more in need. Your gift to convoyofhope.org/10 million meals will make a difference for so many. Thank you for standing with Convoy of Hope as we respond to this crisis. And if you can't give today, please keep showing kindness to others. We're going to get through this together.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program, and it is 8:35. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass, and you are on the phone line. So, hi, good morning, and welcome. You're on the program. Your call, your question, or your comment, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, we planted several things, sun patience and some other things, and one of them was an I think you call it Abelia kaleidoscope.
Yes, uh-huh.
And everything else is doing fine, and it has just turned to crispy, you know, brown
cornflakes.
And all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, they were watered similarly and, you know, they're right next to each other. Can any reason, any idea why?
It's difficult to say why without really looking at it and digging up the root system. Typically, okay. What happens is underground, and something
okay.
is different between that one and another. And it could have gotten too dry or didn't get watered like the other one. It's difficult to say. And if you're watering with an irrigation system, it could have been shielded somehow from the water, too.
Yeah. It's actually, we watered it, you know, just directly, but it actually is right in front of a, you know, whatever you call it, a foot riser sprinkler that is against the wall that sprays out,
okay.
You know. And so, okay, I just was curious why it would go and these others would be
I guess. I guess it's kind of like kids. Some of them turn into be, you know, executives and presidents. Some of them go to jail. You just don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I understand.
What you might want to do is put a catch cup where that is. That could be some kind of cup or even a tin can. And turn on the irrigation and just see how much water that's really getting. Sometimes those up on the riser can actually go over the plant and not really effectively water the plant itself right close to it.
Okay. Okay.
Right, very good.
Well, thank you.
And your first name?
All right.
First name?
Chris.
Chris. Okay, Chris, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. And we've got more room on the line for you at 1-800-749-5936. It's the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. What you got, my man?
Okay, anyway, we talked about crabgrass right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to control as time progresses, and it's getting ready to go to seed. So it's getting to, as Kevin would say, the hard stage. This MSMA won't work that well, so you're kind of out of time.
I've been pulling it out by the roots.
Oh, you've got time for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I got a very small yard. I don't have, like, massive acreage.
If you have a massive acreage, you welcome it. Right?
Yeah.
No, but really. So it's running out. Typically, you use a post-emergent crabgrass control, mm-hmm. like MSMA, or which is the old one, and I think it's prodiamine now they're using. But mm-hmm. it can cause some damage to your grass, especially zoysia grass, too.
Yeah.
The post-emergent herbicides can cause some problems, especially when it gets hot on your crabgrass. So if you have it this year, just keep the mower blade good and sharp, mm-hmm. and you might want to do an enhanced pre-emergent control mm-hmm. in the spring. I like to use the Treflan, Surflan, or one of those others that do a good job of controlling crabgrass. So, anyway, that's it with crabgrass. So, red maple is the tree of the week. Red maple is a very kind of a drought-tolerant plant. I have two in my front yard. And, yeah.
You've got a lot of stuff in your yard.
I got a lot of rock. Yeah, a lot of rock in the yard, too. And then they're doing rather well. The only problem is they're shallow-rooted.
Yeah.
And they tend to be exposed, if you will, in shallow soil. So you might, later on, as they get, these are getting to be pretty big trees,
mm-hmm.
they it's difficult to grow grass underneath them. So I do little planter beds, mm-hmm. some rocks and some other things that will tolerate the conditions underneath them. And they look pretty nice. So anyway, they're easy to grow. They're kind of drought tolerant too, up to 75 feet tall, great fall color. The red in the red maple is not necessarily indicative of the fall color. The red indicates the petiole of the plant. What's a petiole? What's that? That sounds kind of fun. No.
I'm looking it up right now in the Googles.
The petiole is the stem between the branch and the leaf itself.
Got it.
And that's the petiole. And they're characteristically red on the red maples.
Got it.
So anyway, they're noted for their fall color. There are some varieties, they're Freeman eye varieties, which are relatively new. They're crossed between a red and a silver maple,
mm-hmm.
and they're extraordinarily drought tolerant. And they have a good fall color on them too. Now, the fall color is also variable depending on the weather. Typically, when we have a hot summer like this, the fall color is pretty good. Especially if it gets really, really cold in October. So here we go, talking about October again.
It'll be here before you know it. It is the 4th of July.
August, September, just 3 months, 3 months away, and, you know, it's going to freeze.
Yeah, enjoy all this sweatiness while you can.
Enjoy the weather while you can. But so anyway, that has a big effect on the fall color. So red maples don't need a whole lot of water, so don't really go out of your way to water them. And in fact, I do think the fall color is enhanced if they're stressed a little bit.
Okay.
So I don't water mine. They're beautiful every year.
There you go.
So that's the red maple. Good plant. Easy to grow. Easy to plant. Easy to transplant, too. So
we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
What are we going to look at when we come back?
All righty.
It is 8:42, and we've got this two-minute timeout for you.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so Here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Find out what's going on in the church around the world as Bartlesville's Voice of the Martyrs works to bring the Word of God to all the nations. Listen to AM 1400 KWON just before 9 o'clock Monday through Friday mornings for The Overcomers, brought to you by Brian and Little CPAs. The Overcomers is a daily update on the projects around the world where the church is being persecuted. That's The Overcomers, weekday mornings on AM 1400 KWON, brought to you by the accounting firm of Brian and Little CPAs.
Good morning. It is 8:44. Welcome back to the Green Country Garden Program. And 1-800-749-5936 is our toll-free exchange. And you can get on and ask your question with Larry Glass. Larry, what are we up to now?
Hibiscus syriacus. That's the Rose of
that's
Sharon.
That's something. There you go.
That's right. Rose of Sharon is valued for its rather large flowers in mid to late summer when a few other shrubs bloom. The plant grows in sun or maybe a little bit of shade in just about any soil. They're very tolerant of soil types. The growth rate ranges from slow to moderate, and transplanting is pretty easy. We've transplanted these in July in the past.
You have? Wow.
Yeah, they wilted. They look a little tired for a few days. Then they start putting on leaves, and they came out again. So they're very, very tough plants. They're single flowers or double flowers, and in shades of red, pink, white, and purple. Generally cool colors. They don't have a yellow Rose of Sharon yet.
Not yet.
An orange one. That'd be kind of cool. But anyway, or warm color, I guess. The pink bloom takes place in August. You prune them in late winter or early spring. Frequent severe pruning gives fewer but larger flowers, or little or no pruning gives many small flowers. Anyway, they do very well here, and they make good tree form plants, too. So we have a miniature one, too.
A miniature
it's
one?
A little tiny
a teeny
thing.
Teeny little Sharon.
Big old flowers on this little tiny plant. they're really fun to look at. And I said, those just look like perennials. You know, they might as well be a perennial plant because they're about the size of a perennial-type plant. And they're all kinds of shapes, flowers. We have a 5-in-1. Well, we did. I don't know if we have any more. I think we sold them a 5-in-1. We have 5 different flowers on the same plant.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. So they're very easy to grow. They can be a little bit messy. In other words, the flowers fall off. So don't plant them near the pool.
No.
Because you'll have all these little floaty toys in the pool. Rose and Sharon, they're pretty, but they belong off away.
They'll be and swimming, Sharon.
They get fair to good size, and they're really not that pretty all year round. So I don't use them very frequently in the landscape unless there's just a place where you have to have something like that where it's hot and you want some color in the summer and away from the front door and whatnot.
Yeah, keep a little away from the house.
Yeah, but anyway, I like to use them out in the landscape, kind of away from the house, a property line or fence line or something like that, to give you some sparkle in the summer. So Rose of Sharon is the national flower of South Korea. They appear in national emblems, and so it's actually featured in the Korean national anthem, which I don't really know that, but apparently it's mentioned in their national anthem. So, okay. And it's made its way over here, and we've made some cultivars, and they're really pretty plants. There are some that have no seeds, and one problem with the Rose of Sharon is you have all kinds of kittens all over the yard.
And they just start springing up.
That's
huh?
right, and then you can transplant those fairly easily if you want a hedgerow or something. So anyway, But there are some seedless varieties that, mm-hmm. that don't tend to do that.
Good.
But anyway, Rosa Sharon's a good plant. I wouldn't make a big deal of it. Just put it in the landscape just for a spot of some reliable summer color in the full sun. Mm-hmm. The better the soil, though, the better the show of the flowers.
There
you go. So Rosa Sharon, otherwise Hibiscus syriac, is a good plant. Good plant to have. I like to tree form them, too. They make kind of a pretty tree form plant.
Mm-hmm.
Don't plan on this plant lasting very long. You'll probably get 10, 12 years out of it. And they get leaf or stem anthracnose after a while. They just kind of die off. So they look kind of like me, just kind of old and broken down.
That's time to get a new one.
Time to get another one, yeah. So, but you just dig one up from another part of the yard, I guess.
There you go. Bring it over there. Hey, look, here's your new home. It's all about location.
It's a good plant. They're also available in a variegated leaf, so mm-hmm. they've had a lot of fun breeding these. So we've had several colors and varieties. So mm-hmm. good plant for this part of the country.
Okay.
And that leads us to our annual of the week, which is periwinkle.
Okay.
Periwinkle is a very common, this from Madagascar, and it blooms in the heat. Mm-hmm. A lot of people planted these early. I planted some early at my house, and they're just little yellow, bespeckled, rotted-looking little yellow things in the yard. As soon as the heat hit, boy, they just took off. And now they look really good. So if you want perennials in the landscape, usually we don't plant those until late May or mm-hmm. middle May or so, and because they don't like the cool weather.
No, they don't do well. Let's take a call real quick.
Okay, sure.
Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a whole row of Rosa Sharon that I planted. We live on a country road.
Yeah.
And ours are taller than the house, and they're about 21 years old.
Good.
Wow.
But I have a jillion of them that have come up under them.
Uh-huh.
So you must how am I going to clean that all out?
You must have good dirt.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but these have really, really grown.
How do you
years
get...
ago, when we were on the road, I gathered these seeds in South Carolina
mm-hmm.
and planted them, and they have been beautiful, and the butterflies and the hummingbirds like them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, you know, the wind has come around, like, from the house, and kind of they're leaning towards the west.
Right.
And I'm wondering how... if I tear those all out and put new ones out in.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have to have a tractor to pull them out.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But if you got some little ones there, they'll sort of take over. The transplanting and all that is best done in the wintertime, really.
Right.
So the little okay. ones, and usually we have a little bit more moisture in the soil, too, at that point. So.
Okay. Then I have this mock orange, and it's tall as the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually prune it, but last year I didn't get it all pruned, so it's kind of ugly. But how short should I cut that?
You can probably cut that really back to knee high.
Wow.
Yeah, the Philadelphus orientalis tolerates heavy pruning very well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Then my daylilies, they're like over 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
I usually wait till those die down. Can I cut them off sooner or just leave them until they die down?
You mean the seed heads? Yeah.
Right, the stalks.
Yeah, you can cut those off as soon as they're done, really. It makes them look a little better.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And while you're dividing up your Rosa Sharon, you might want to do the daylilies, too. They respond very well to being divided.
Right.
They
I divided them 2 years ago.
Oh, good.
And uh-huh. they have just done great.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got another year or two before you have to worry about it again, so.
Right. Okay.
So you're smart.
I think that may be it.
You divided your daylilies. You're very smart in that, and they do very much better if they are divided like that every 3 years.
Oh, it was unreal. Last year I had people coming out here to look at them because they were so beautiful.
Uh-huh. But sounds like you got some really good dirt. Wow. Wonderful.
Well, we're in Oahu.
Well, yeah.
Oahu.
Oh, that's good stuff there. I put a few sprinkler systems in Oahu and plunged that trencher all the way down. You never hit a rock.
Well, but, you know, I bought some, like, begonias and things to put in flower pots
mm-hmm.
from a local store, and they do not take care of them. But they're like their stomach. I put them in bigger pots and keeping them watered, and they're blooming, but they're just sitting there. They're not branching out or anything. I think they're stunted.
They really, begonia just like a really loose type potting soil. A lot of the potting soils we get, it's really dark in color, and it's made up of a lot of tree bark. So,
this is Miracle Grow, I think.
Well, that's one
I've
of
them. I've had the time with, I usually buy topsoil and mix sand and perlite with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the topsoil this year was wet, and it smelled like it had come from a sewer plant.
We have a potting soil that comes in a big white bag, and it's a professional blend, and we use it by the palletful at the nursery to grow our plants, and I've had very good luck with that in pots, and I use it on my tomatoes and things and never have any problems. So
but
you
did
might
it let water just run right through them?
Oh no, it's primarily a peat base. It's got perlite, vermiculite in it, and some surfactants and the pH stabilizer. And it does a very good job of holding water and keeping itself open. In other words, it lets the air through real well.
Okay. I may have to get some of that next year then.
It's called ProMix. It's a big old bag. 3 cubic feet is $20, which makes it a lot cheaper than most other potting soils.
Okay. I'll have to remember that then.
Okay.
So. All right.
Yeah, after 40 years of doing this, we finally found one that works really well, and that's really the only one we sell.
Well, if they don't change it on you, you'll be okay.
That's right. All right. And your first name?
Oh, my name is Judy.
Judy. Okay, Judy. All right.
But I've got two hawthorn trees that, know, when you donate to Arbor Day, they send you all these little tree saplings.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't find anybody that wants them.
Oh.
See, they make a pretty tree.
They do. Their primary attribute are the berries in the winter, which is good for wildlife. And hawthorn is an indigenous species as well. So
okay.
they do well here.
All right. Thank you.
All righty.
Thank you
for calling.
And we'll be right back after this 2-minute, 15-second timeout.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Valli, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion. And they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. And I think we have one more call here. We'll try to squeeze in before we call her a day today. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a really nice pine tree. It's not real big, but I've had it for like 10 years. It's about 4 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And about the last couple of months, the needles are turning brown. But we keep watering it. It's been healthy. This spring, early spring, it's got all the new green stuff that came out on the ends, you know, and it looked really healthy. And all of a sudden, it looked like it's dying.
Hmm.
The needles are turning brown.
Okay. On the needles, I'll tell you what, it sounds like it could be a needle blight. Or needle cast is another one. Look for dark bands that go around the needle, sort of like a ring on a finger, if you will, a ring of brown here and there.
Oh, okay.
And that's a characteristic of a needle cast. If that's the problem, perhaps you might have maybe a mineral deficiency in the soil. It would be the first thing I would probably, because our soil here is naturally kind of that way. And it really can't grow very strong to fight all these fungus things. That could be it. What species of pine is it, do you know?
I don't know. It's a cute little tree, and it's done so good all these years, and all of a sudden it's just going bad.
Yeah. That's kind of what it sounds like. The root system could be wrapped up around it, too. Maybe it wasn't pruned properly when it was planted. A lot of factors can contribute to that, really.
So there's nothing I can do?
At this point, you do a fungal application in October.
Mm-hmm. That's going to about wrap it up for today.
Oh, okay. Thank you for calling, and
sharpen your shovel.
Sharpen your shovel. Okay.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Vicki Barker in London. President Trump takes aim at what he calls a new far-left fascism.
To the sound of the Washington Post march, named for a newspaper he frequently attacks, President Trump took the stage beneath huge busts of four of his predecessors for a Mount Rushmore attack on what he calls a merciless campaign to wipe out our history.
Our children are taught in school to hate their own country.
Mr. Trump, welcomed by several thousand supporters sitting close to one another, very few wearing masks, and Mr. Trump saying little about the pandemic that has killed about 130,000 Americans. Tom Foti.